Yesterday we studied in Revelation 6 how the horse, how in James 1 and in James 4 it says the same thing about you start out doing something good and you're doing it really in the name of Christ, but it ends up a mess. It says the same thing in Matthew 24, if we have eyes to see. So let's go there and look at... And we also studied Ezekiel 8 yesterday about you're trying to take him to a place afar off in the seed of jealousy. Everybody remember all that?
Yeah, that's good.
Where are we, Matthew?
Matthew 24. The horseman in Revelation 6 is obviously the Antichrist, or is you, your ideas. You proceed going forth conquering and to conquer. But then the red horse is carnage and blood. And then it's the black horse of famine and dearth and want. And the gray-green horse of Hades and death. And so let's look and see what Christ said in Matthew 24. Starting verse 4. And he said, "Take heed." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' or 'Here's the anointing,' or 'I believe what I'm doing is God's will,' or you can say anything." You understand? It doesn't mean that necessarily they're just saying. But as a Christian, what you wouldn't do anything that you were convinced of was instead of or anti-Christ. So your ideas are really, you're saying to God, "I am Christ," or this idea is Christ. "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." So, that's getting on the horse. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Oh, that's the bloodshed. "See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And these aren't like, when it talks about nations and kingdoms, they can be your little thing in your mind. It doesn't mean like Russia and China. It means like nation and kingdom are the things that you populate. "Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines." Famines is the third horse. And then, "And pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places," or shakings. And the earthquakes, or the pestilence, is the pestilence of death in verse 7. The point of this is that throughout the scriptures, it's always goes from this basis. It goes from idea, bow with no arrows, going forth conquering and to conquer. It brings forth bloodshed, brings forth famine, brings forth death. You got it? We looked at James 1 and James 4 yesterday. We looked at Ezekiel 8. It's also talked about in Job, but I can't find it this morning. And so, whenever we hear the word death, we think of it as bad. From God's standpoint, your death is why the cross. So it's, this is where I've gotten so often to tell you that you just go do everything. Don't have any if only. Just leave, go do everything. And everybody gets all nervous when you say that. Because, my God, what are you telling people to do when I'm telling people not to circumcise themselves?
Well, you're advocating sin.
Well, that's what they said about Paul. All right, so now let's go back to Revelation 6. And again, we could go through the whole scriptures and see this. He was the great deceiver in Pharaoh's court. He was the great deceiver in the garden. He was the great deceiver in Herod. He's the great deceiver in you. He promises peace, only ends in death. He promises prosperity and only ends in famine. It goes on and on and on and on. All people of the world flock to him. Every eye sees him. He deceives the whole world. He comes riding on the white horse, conquering and to conquer. The entire military, social, economic, political, and religious resources of the world are at his disposal and in his hands. And everything, he's always, when he goes forth conquering and to conquer, he's always an enemy of the cross of Christ. He's not an enemy of Christ because he puts Christ's name in anything he feels like it. But he's an enemy of the cross of Christ because his gods are his appetites. His glory is in his shame, for he minds or gives breath to earthly things. You got to see, this is what defines you. You've got to step out of it. You've got to, instead of letting the horses out, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Positive or negative. Okay? Everybody understand perfectly.
It's interesting that there's, in this world thing, there's nothing left out. He's the ruler of the entire thing. And any aspect that you want to join in anywhere, you're
okay. There's not one example of a disciple ever getting involved in politics, ever concerning himself with what the world around him was doing. It's about ridding idolatry and apostasy from his people. That's what the Bible is about. The Bible isn't a science book. The Bible isn't a history book. The Bible is words about the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got to see this all the time. And that's all you should be about, the same thing that the Word is about. If you understand this, you will be inexorably changed from this moment forward. If you don't understand it, you can just keep doing the same things you always did. Worrying about the same things you always worry about.
Thinking about the politics, Tom and I have these political discussions, and I think it's like you're busying yourself in affairs that have no value because there's no changing the world in the way it is. It's always going to be the same. Always has been.
Well, but
so to spend your time in that realm is really.
But it's much worse than that. You're giving breath to the Antichrist. You're raising him who is. Wounded with a deadly head wound, you're raising him from the dead in you by giving breath to things other than that which is Christ, that which is Spirit, that which is his life, that which is the kingdom of God. So it's not some innocent little discussion you're having.
I think it's much worse than that. I think it's boring.
Well, that's what I've said for so many years now, that somehow modern religion has succeeded in making the God of the universe boring. And that's probably the greatest sin. All right. This tyrant, going forth conquering and to conquer, never rides alone. So let's go back to Revelation 6. Revelation 6, verse 3. And when he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." So again, when in the first thing in Revelation, it's always come and see. Not come and see what's going to happen in the future, or come and see what's going to happen in the past, or come and see what other people are doing. Come and see what you are doing. We always want to deflect it to someplace else. Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given him to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, again, he's taking peace because the white horse was let out. He has to take peace from the earth, from your earth, from you as the earthen vessel. That's his job. And the problem is, it's not the great sword. It's the Makaira, the weapon that is hidden, concealed from the world view, the weapon of assassins. And he bathes the earth in blood. This is why we, you know, the valley of Megiddo is already, you know, the blood is already at above the horse's bridle. If we could only see what we're doing, Armageddon isn't going to come someday. It's here. So how much blood did you shed yesterday? How much blood did you already shed this morning? With the hidden knife, the hidden assassin's weapon. So the first the white horse, then the red horse. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The word in Greek is chronic, koinic, C-H-O-I-N-I-X, koinix. And he's saying a famine, it's a famine, a koinix of wheat for a denarius. It's the wage of a working man for one day, and a koinix was the amount necessary to feed one man for one day. And so, no matter what you do, you're going in the hole. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you keep getting more and more in debt. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, your plans don't work. The famine isn't just about money. The famine is about prospering, the true meaning of it. And you wonder why. So you try everything so that you can prosper, so that you can have successful relationships, so that you can do whatever you want to do. But you find nothing but famine. And the reason is, you've let out the horses. Let out the first horse. Going forth conquering and to conquer. This time I'll get it right. And the second horse, because you have a predetermined course of action, and anybody that gets in your way, you murder. Maybe you don't succeed in killing them, but you shed blood all over the place. And then famine. And all this is a blessing, because if you were successful in any of it, then you could never see the mystery. And you wonder why you can't make it. You wonder why things don't go right. You wonder why there's a famine. And what is the famine? The famine is everything. It's the famine of money, the famine of revelation, the famine of rain, the famine of sustenance, the famine of friends, the famine of everything. Because your horses are going wild, stable. It's not just one horse you've let out. Every time you've had an idea, you've let out the horses. Every time you've judged another, you let out the horses. There's bloodshed in your wake. What?
Well, I was looking at the foolishness of success and thinking that it means something. If you have any modicum of success, then you start protecting yourself from defenses, doing stuff that destroys your soul, but you've got stuff.
But can you see? It's important. It doesn't talk about, can you see how each one of us have done this? You have to personalize this right now. Otherwise, it's going to be deflected by the Antichrist, the incentive, because he doesn't want you to hear this. You've got to see that you've left a wake of bloodshed, not 30 years ago or 100 years or 50 years ago, yesterday, maybe even this morning.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the passage somewhere in Ezekiel or something about the bodies. You know, that talks about you've left all these dead bodies piled up.
Right.
I remember, you know, strikingly seeing that, you know, myself when we were reading that, talking about idolatry or something back in the day. But all those, if you had to read all those at once, there couldn't be anything left of you.
That's why we should read them all at once.
Blows you away.
No, I mean, how many times have you murdered your wife? How many times have you murdered your husband and children and friends and co-workers because they got in your way of your white horse? This is what should produce the dread and the awe, the only thing that can produce true repentance, of leaving all of you behind forever. Don't deflect it. We're talking about you. What?
Well, I was thinking about what you said earlier. Do everything with, you know, whatever's in you to do, because if you don't, you stay in that lukewarm middle where you never even see what you're doing. If you don't get out there and be exposed to your own self, what your stuff is, then you won't have anything to repent of. You'll be in the safe zone where God doesn't touch you or doesn't deal with you. Start being who you are and see what happens. You'll have plenty to repent. But you'll be able to repent because you see it.
But can you see how many times you've murdered me?
Thinking about that right now.
Not necessarily murdered. How many ways, how many times you've stabbed me? How many times you've secretly stabbed your wife? Because you blamed her for not being successful. You blame me.
For siding with her.
But
yep.
It's got to be real. It's got to be meat in you. Who are you blaming now for anything?
Myself.
Well, that's got to be, that's just as bad.
I know, that gets down to the worst of it.
Does there anybody not understand what I'm talking about? Can you see why the book of Revelation sits over all of time?
See why there's a great need for many to redefine it so that it doesn't do that.
All right. When I had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, or kronix of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou not hurt the wine and the oil." Or the oil and the wine. You can't hurt the oil and the wine. I mean, that's the whole point.
Oh, you know what? That made me think earlier when you were in that it was like, even though your sustenance is provided, what you're seeing lack in is all the things that you want, and you're in this perpetual wanting more than you have, even though everything's right there. So it's, you know, maybe that's part of the deal. It's not hurting the oil and the wine, but you think there's nothing there to give you sustenance, but it is.
Right. It's everything is exactly as it should be at every moment. Now, you can't use that to justify everything you've done, because you have to see and acknowledge your sin and turn from you, because you It's not what you do that's sin, it's what you are is sin. And so you acknowledge that and turn from yourself. You leave yourself behind from this moment forward, because all you can do is kill and rob and destroy. That's what all the horses can do, and that's what you are, trying to provide strength in the promise instead of dependency. But you can take anything and twist it. I mean, that's why you can make the Bible say anything you want to. That's why any time that you... here's the way you know. The ancients used to say the way you know that you've fallen into apostasy is if you take something away from the finished work of Christ and leave something for you to do. You cannot overemphasize the fullness of Christ. For Him, by Him, and through Him were all things created. All things exist for His sake. Your mind cannot conceive of a way to overemphasize the fullness of His work. And apostasy always goes along the line of, well, yeah, but that's true, but there's something I've got to do. Or there's this problem I've got to take care of. Or there's this issue that I've got to solve.
Those warnings about adding and subtracting to the scriptures, you know, have to do with adding stuff that you should be able to do or subtracting stuff that Christ has already accomplished.
Amen. What?
I was thinking about the word Savior, even like Christ being your Savior. That implies that you just have a helper or somebody to get you out of trouble. It doesn't imply your death, unless you see it right, but just those simple words. Everything in here can be turned back to your own benefit.
All right, where are we? And when I'd opened the fourth seal, I don't want to talk. I'm going to quit for today because this parable of the horses and the effect of the horses is played out throughout the scriptures. And it's, if you don't see it, and don't believe what I say, I don't care if anybody believes me, but search yourself to see whether these things be true. Make it meet in you. Otherwise, you'll never say this, but you think, well, I'll be a doer of the word, and I'll go do something. No. The doer of the word is the one that hears and then looks in the scriptures and sees himself, and then he walks away and forgets what manner of man he was, and he does the same damn thing over again. So the only thing he ever does is he never acknowledges that the white horse is his ideas, and never acknowledges that he's let all these horses out and he's got stampedes going in every direction. Because it's all self-seeking.
I just thought about Judas, how he fits this process, letting a horse out, running with it. A lot of famine and death just following with that. And that's just the betrayal process that we go through.
Yeah, that's sort of the prototype of all of our thoughts. You end up in betrayal of Christ. It just all goes back to that same template.
Remember, that's why Luther said, every time you think that you have something to think about, you're pounding the nails until Christ's head. Every time you think you have something to do, you're pounding the nail into his wrists. Every time you have some place to go, you're pounding the nail into his feet. Every time you don't understand, it's finished. Every time you don't see that you've been perfected by one offering. Every time you see lack, it just goes on and on and on and on. You're crucifying the Son of God afresh. Because his work, his finished work, wasn't enough for you because you're so special. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Anybody else? Miss Josanna, Rosanna, Dana? All right, take a big guy.